As some of you know, as being sort of been in my position, I have to go off to a lot of civic events and I meet an awful lot of people, some well-to-do, some not well-to-do. And also you tend to melt into the background a little bit and you get to meet some of the quieter people that go on behind the scenes. Now today I'd like to bring forward one of those people from the background to stand out at the front today, because I learned of a story during the week which is absolutely amazing. It involves the mayor's driver, and he's also his attendant and mace bearer for the mayor of Reigate and Banstead Borough Council. Now, David Duke is a very quiet man, and I've met his wife, Sandra. They're lovely people, but their story is absolutely amazing of what happened on Monday. This is a pre-recorded interview that I recorded last night at their home in Burgess Hill. Just after 4 p.m. on Monday, the 18th of July, on a fantastic summer's day, on his day off from official duties as the mayoral chauffeur, attendant and mace bearer to the mayor of Reigate and Banstead, David Duke took his wife Sandra to Brighton for lunch and a boat trip from the marina. Little did they know, they would end up instigating a major rescue which saved a life. David Duke tells us their story.
My wife Sandra and I went to Brighton, and it was such a lovely day that we decided late afternoon to go out on a boat from the marina. We've never done that before, and as I say, it's such a lovely day, it was a perfect opportunity. We booked ourselves out on the 4 o'clock boat from the marina. There was only a few people on it, can probably house about 60 to 80 people. There were some stragglers, so in fact the boat left a little bit later, which may become very relevant from what I'm about to say. The boat left the marina about between 5 and 4:10, and it was a 45-minute trip, which was to go out to the piers at Brighton, the existing pier and the old pier, and then back again, basically. We had gone to the existing pier, and we'd gone round the top of the pier, and then back in January to the other side. And then we went parallel with the shore, heading towards the old pier, the ruined pier. I think we're probably about 500 metres out, but we were to the left of the buoys, the floating buoys that indicate the barrier between the extreme swimmers and the ocean, if you like. As we were approaching the old pier, just as we were about to turn, we started to slow down. And I was on the right-hand side of the boat looking out to the shore, and Sandra and I saw two floating buoys, buoyancy buoys, and what we thought was a third initially, but because of the wave of the boat, it wasn't clear what the third object was. As we drew parallel and about 20 or 30 feet away, we immediately noticed it was a body lying face down in the water, not moving at all. We indicated to the captain of the boat that there was a body in the water. Initially, he was a little bit reluctant. He thought it was someone mucking about, but I was sure that it wasn't, and I think everyone else was. And we drew his attention again to the body in the water, which by now is not moving, and it was lifeless, facing down. So we immediately decided that we'd have to get in there and try and offer some rescue. So I basically stripped off and just went straight into the water. As I was doing so, everyone was shouting that the body was disappearing under the water. So I got as quickly as I could. I got to the body and turned the body over, and it was lifeless, and I thought the poor lad was dead. I started to swim back towards the boat with the body, and to be honest with you, I was struggling. I think people on the boat realised I was struggling. The next thing I knew was that Sandra had jumped in fully clothed.
This is your wife?
That's my wife, yeah. She jumped in fully clothed, and it's quite a brave thing to do, really, because she potentially had two people to rescue, not one. She was immediately followed by a chap called Richard Martinez, who was also on the boat. And around the same time, a life ring was thrown in. They both swam towards me. I swam towards them. And eventually, we managed to get the body secure within the ring, or the head at least. And between us, we made our way back towards the boat. Now, unbeknown to us at this time, the lifeguards on the beach, they were actually monitoring some other people in the sea that were a little bit out of their depth, a little bit out of the area, and they were a little bit concerned. And while they were scanning this group and another group, they noticed and saw Sandra and Richard jumping in fully clothed, and also they saw the ring being thrown into the water. So they immediately instigated their rescue plan, because they knew something wasn't right. And within 5 minutes, the longboard came with one of the lifeguards on, and we managed to hold the head and the body still so that in the water as best we could, so that he could administer some rescue breaths. And at this point, there was an indication that, in fact, there was movement with the body. So that suggested to me that we might have just got there in time. The body was unconscious, or the chap was unconscious. Very quickly after that, the rescue rig arrived, and the body was... the lad was placed on the unit, and then they immediately continued with CPR, and then the rig then went off towards the shore, where you could see from the distance there were some ambulances who were waiting for and to recover and to assist with the first aid. But I'm led to believe that the crew, who acted absolutely fantastically, actually got this fella back, which was remarkable under the circumstances. The Opscom for the lifeguards said to us afterwards that approximately, in his guess, another minute, and this gentleman wouldn't have survived. So that made it even more precious to us, I think, in what we'd done for him.
Now, what makes it for you to actually recognise that there was difficulty there and make that... what is a difficult decision if you've never done rescue training before, to actually go in and try and assist?
I was 100% certain that there was a medical issue here. The body, the lad, was just completely lifeless. And what made that decision even easier for me to jump in was the fact that he did start to disappear. And clearly there was an issue, which, because I didn't even think about it really, I had no choice to go in there, and I was fairly confident, or I thought I was fairly confident, I could deal with it. But I have to say, looking back, it was a lot harder than I ever imagined. But to the credit, Sandra and Richard, there may have been an element of minor reluctance, but for them to come in as well was just as brave, I think, to be honest with you, because you know, Sandra, when she went in, she was ended up dealing with two people potentially, and then Richard's just quick thinking that, you know, we needed his help as well. It was just so important, because without them, I'm convinced that this lad wouldn't be with us today.
One of the important things you've done there is you've recognised the situation, you've put yourself at a little bit of risk, and you've already admitted, really, that you got yourself into a little bit of difficulty with struggling against probably the currents as well. It's tiring you out, and trying to rotate and turn a body in the water. But still a very brave act yourself, and a very brave decision to do, David.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think there was any other option, to be honest with you. We had to act quick. I mean, I expected eventually someone else to come in. Did I expect it to be Sandra? I don't know, to be honest with you, but I thought someone would eventually come in. But you know, there are other issues. You know, we just had lunch and we'd had a nice drink, and you hear people say, you know, don't go in the sea if you had a drink, and or if you had something to eat, it can affect your ability to swim. And I don't know if that played a part in causing me a difficulty or not, I don't know, but it's very difficult to try and keep someone up above the water when they're lying on top of you, basically, and they're pushing you under. So I just felt I just needed to do it. There's no other option available. You can't just stand there and stare and look. And hopefully, fingers crossed, it's turned out to be the right thing, because as my information is that this lad is going to be, or has been, released from hospital. So all's well that ends.
That's great news. David Duke, thank you very much for speaking to us.
It's a pleasure, thank you.
Well, as you can agree, that interview was very emotional. David struggling to find his words. He wanted to convey his story, as he was a bit concerned that the story that was appearing in the printed press was starting to be spun a little bit. And there we have the true story. As far as we are aware, the young person in question survived, and all is well. But we cannot 100% confirm that, because we haven't been able to touch base with family. But let's say, from information that we have gained, we believe he has been released from hospital, so that is good news.
Sussex and Surrey's Susie 103.4.